everybody. Thank you so much for connecting in with us this morning for our first online Sunday Zoom. We're trying something a little bit different this morning. If you've been connecting in with us for the last 700 weeks during lockdown, you will know that we have been working our way through different encounters that people had in the Gospel of Luke with Jesus, really trying to, I guess, stimulate and stir our hearts for our own relationship with Jesus and our own expectation of encounter with him. What we wanted to do in this August season is just change the pace of things a little bit and get practical. You know, we've talked a lot and hopefully set a high vision for what our life and our encounter with Jesus could be. But I guess you might have come away from some of those messages going, oh, I really want to encounter Jesus more, but how do I actually do that? And so what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is spend some time looking at, I guess, some key discipleship tools, some foundational discipleship tools that help us to do that. And so the one that we're going to look at this morning is, how do you read your Bible? And I'm delighted to welcome Keith and Brian and Miriam, who are finally joining me this morning on the Zoom. And we're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at scripture together around God's word, and then just sharing our own kind of honest, real experiences of reading God's word. And hopefully some of the things that we share will help you this morning in your own journey, encountering Jesus through his word. So morning, guys. Hope you're all well. Thank you for joining me. Everyone okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn straight to the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn with me to Psalm 19. You really should, if we're doing a session on how to read your Bible, have your Bible in front of you. And I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 19, starting in verse 7 down to 11. It says this: the law of the Lord, we could equal that to being the word of the Lord, is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So I guess my starter question for you guys this morning is, how would you describe in a word or in a sentence your relationship with the Bible? So Keith, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Well, I'm going for three words, which might then need some explaining, but we'll see. And the three words are just something I came across just a few days ago, actually. I thought, yeah, that really sums it up. Medicine, cereal, feast. What does that mean? You can come to the Bible and you see it as medicine. It's just sort of something you know is good for you, but you kind of don't really want to. Then it progresses to cereal, which is kind of nutritious, but a bit dull and a bit tasteless. But then as you immerse yourself more, you realize that you're enjoying this amazing feast. And I can go through that whole process every time I come to the Bible. You know, I come to it thinking, yeah, right, I suppose it's going to be good for me. But so often I come out of it thinking, wow, that was a feast. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic. Thanks, Keith. We can stop there. That's enough. Enough wisdom for this whole session. That's brilliant. Miriam, how about you?
That was really good, Keith. Mine's just one word at the moment. I would say interesting.
Do you want to say any more?
Into that, what you were.
Do you want to say any more about that?
I liked what Keith said in terms of it being process each time I used to read the Bible. I think I go through a similar kind of process, and I probably will do for the rest of my life. And sometimes that process is after, if I'm brutally honest, maybe even a couple of weeks of not looking at my Bible sometimes, not always, but sometimes. And I think I go through the process of knowing I should read it and knowing it will do me good, sometimes thinking impatiently, but it's maybe not going to make me feel good straight away. Sometimes it does. I have had times where, you know, I've opened the Bible, particularly in a time of maybe a crisis or something, and it has brought me peace straight away. Sometimes it doesn't straight away, and it's about kind of persevering through that. And so I think, especially in this lockdown period, I've been aware of my weaknesses much more than normal. And so I think I've been aware of my impatience and I want things straight away. And so sometimes that can put me off reading the Bible because I think, well, I've got other stuff that I'm going to get more satisfaction from, like doing the washing or something. I'll read my Bible afterwards, but then surprise, surprise, something happens and I have to deal with that. And so the Bible gets pushed and pushed. So at the moment, I would say interesting.
Great. Thank you. How about you, Brian?
I think one word that would sum it up for me would be passionate. I'm passionate about God's word. I've always loved God's word. Well, for many, many years, I find it just so inspiring and interesting as I read it. And the more I read it, the more I get from it. And God really speaks to me through his word. And I'm just, every time I open my Bible, I'm just waiting for God to speak to me. Doesn't always happen. I have my low days as well. I'm not saying that every day is wonderful, but God just continues over many, many years just to speak to me. So I'm absolutely passionate about God's word.
Yeah. Great. Fantastic. That's really helpful. Okay, that's just helpful to get a bit of a broad canvas of kind of our experiences. I'll kind of chip in very briefly. I think mine would be probably dependent in that I've realized if I go, a few days without really being in the word, I feel the difference in my heart. I don't know if that makes sense. I feel sometimes a hardening in my heart. I feel an increased lack of peace. And so for me, kind of God's word is the way that I center myself kind of every day, in the Lord and under his kind of will. It talks obviously in the word about renewing your mind. And I'm very conscious that my thoughts can quickly kind of spiral in all different kind of directions. But I do find that, daily bringing myself back to that place just kind of keeps me aligned as best as I can with God. So for me, it would be that word dependent. Like I feel the impact of it if I don't read God's word. And I notice, and I don't know if this is true for you, that the longer I go without it, the harder it is to then go back to. It feels like a bigger deal to then do it. Maybe we can explore why that is in a bit. Okay, that's really helpful, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to do just a very quick, like literally 2 minute kind of what does the scripture say? A bit of a reflection on what we've just read in Psalm 19. And really, I want to ask two questions that we see from these verses. Number one, what is the word? And then number two, like, what does it do for us? What are its benefits? And this psalm is set up very kind of easily, really, for us to understand in that you kind of have this back and forth between kind of, this is what the word is, and this is what it does for us. So in terms of what the word is, we see from verse 7, the word is perfect. The word is sure. We see from verse 8 that the word is right, that the word is pure. We see from verse 9 that the word is true. We see from verse 10 that the word is precious. And we see from verse 11 that the word is kind of guiding, or you could even say guarding. So you've got this very clear list of things. The word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's true, it's precious, it's guarding, it's guiding. You hear that, and if anybody offered you anything like that in life, say, I've got this thing that's perfect and true and right and sure and guarding, you'd be like, yes, please, I want that. And yet that's not always our response, and we're going to explore why that is in a minute. But then also you've got the flip side of the psalm, which tells us what it does for us. So we see in verse 7, it revives our soul. It makes makes the simple wise. It brings rejoicing into our heart. It enlightens our eyes. It's sweet. It satisfies us. And it warns us. It keeps us on track. And there is great reward for us from reading God's word. So it's all these really positive things about God's word and all these really positive benefits of reading God's word. So I guess my next question to dig a little bit deeper is, how do these verses match up with your experience of reading God's word? And if they don't, or if there have been times where they haven't, why do you think that is? Like, what are the challenges around engaging with God's word? Should we start? We'll go in the reverse order this time. So, Brian, why don't we start with you?
I would agree with the psalmist. That's a good start, isn't it? Yeah. And I think really everything is summed up in verse 7 there, where he says, God's word is perfect. I suppose during my life, I've gone to the Bible for wisdom when making choices, things that I should be doing, not doing. When I've gone through stressful situations, I've found that the word of God is comforting and a great help to me. It gives me encouragement when I'm feeling low. So I feel God's word is all round. It encompasses everything. And there's no situation that you could find yourself in where there isn't an answer in God's word. And it just gives me strength.
Great. Brilliant. Thanks, Brian. How about you, Miriam?
I think, like I said earlier, I think there are times where I've read the Bible and it's kind of been an instant peace that's come over me. But there's also times where, for me, it is more of a perseverance in terms of kind of reading a bit each day. And then maybe after a couple of weeks, you kind of look back and think, oh, I am changing. Or I do feel better about that situation. And I think obviously that's part of God maturing me and teaching me things. And we live in a culture, don't we, that's very want something and get it straight away. And I think, again, even in lockdown, I think even silly things, kind of like shopping, has become far more like online. And so we have kind of all our birthdays in the summer, and silly things just like needing to buy presents for the children, it's become quite a quick, maybe not the process of deciding what to get them, but it's become quite a quick, you know, online on Amazon or eBay or whatever. And so sometimes I think that's probably not helped me in terms of my impatience. And so I think that's something that God's teaching me at the moment is perseverance when you don't see the answer straight away. And I can relate that to experience of reading the Bible. And I think Jeff once explained it to me, that's quite a few years ago now, but it stuck with me in terms of every time you read the Bible isn't necessarily a massive meal, but it's you don't remember every meal that you've ever had in your life, but you know that if you'd missed kind of a period of, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, your body would obviously struggle, and you would remember that time as a time where you were physically very poorly, but that doesn't mean you remember each time that you read the word. And so I guess I think, you know, I know it's doing me good, but sometimes it's a bit of a drip feeding. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said earlier, I often go through this process where I'll read the Bible and I'll be really kind of zealous for it. And then gradually I'll just kind of, you know, it won't become a priority. And then I'll kind of get to a point of despair and then kind of go back to it. And I think hopefully those processes, as I mature in my life, will get less and less, and as I become more like Jesus, I don't think they'll ever go totally, because obviously we're human, but I think I do have hope that as I mature, I'll kind of have to go through that process less, and I'll learn my lesson quicker, I think.
Thanks. Sounds like you received some very wise counsel. Keith, how about you, mate?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you read through those verses in Psalm 19, I find it ever so easy to latch onto the first part of each phrase and just sort of accept it as a sort of head knowledge. Yes, the law of the Lord is perfect and the testimony of the Lord is sure. Yeah, I can accept that because the Bible says it. It's where each phrase then goes on to sort of talking about how that touches me. Mm-hmm. And I have to confess that sometimes as I read God's word, I don't feel that my soul is being revived. This morning I was reading 2 Chronicles, at the back end of 2 Chronicles, and I'm thinking, what? Really? But I think if I kind of step back from that, my overall experience is that, you know, as I wade through 2 Chronicles, and then find myself reading a bit in Luke's Gospel, and then find myself reading a bit in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm seeing, hang on a minute, I'm getting this lovely rounded view of who God is and how he works and how he deals with his people, and I am included in his people. So I think it kind of, it's not necessarily open the Bible, read a passage, think yes, but it's adding to this kind of enormous picture of who God is and what he's like.
Yeah, great, thanks Keith. I think something you touched on, William, is really probably a lot of people's experience in terms of that expectation. You know, we talk a lot about, and Brian, you said it, you know, God speaks to me through his word. And we talk a lot about that, don't we? You know, the primary way that God has revealed himself is through his word, so that when we come to the word, we should expect, you know, God to speak to us. And yet I think often what puts people off and why they do struggle to kind of make that a regular thing in their life is that they, like you say, Keith, they'll pick up their Bible and go, okay, I've been told that God's going to speak to me, and then they'll read something and they'll just think, I don't understand that. I don't see how that's relevant to my life. And they get discouraged immediately. And so kind of give up. What would you say to somebody who's, that is their experience? What would your kind of counsel be to them, or encouragement to them be? Anyone want to jump in on that?
I found that having a plan is important. I found there's been times in my life where I've just dipped in and out of God's word, and I really struggle with that because you kind of always go to the popular passages and you don't read the 2 Chronicles and the Lamentations and the difficult bits, you know, and you're kind of missing out. So I like to have a plan. And I mean, this all started for me sort of 45 years ago, I think. My pastor gave a challenge out on New Year's Day, just shortly after, the first Sunday in January, encouraging the congregation to read the Bible in a year. And his plan was, read 4 chapters a day and you can get through the Bible in a year. So that's what I did. Started in Genesis, went right through to Revelation. And it was a slog at times, and especially when you came to Psalm 119 and you still had 3 other chapters to read. But I persevered and I did it because I wanted to achieve that. I'm not saying God spoke to me terribly through that, but I just got down and I did it. And I felt I'd achieved something at the end of it. And then I did it myself for the second year. And then after that, I stopped and I started doing Bible notes. I used to do Every Day with Jesus or Daily Bread, something like that, where you get a little bit of a commentary to go along with the passage. And I found that very helpful, especially as a younger Christian. And I continued to do that. And then there was a period in life when the children came along and all the rest of it, and you're extra busy and you can't find the time, and so it dropped away. So I haven't read my Bible every day for the whole of my life. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of me that I'm some sort of holy person. I'm not. There's been many years when I've struggled to read my Bible, but just recently, I think it was about 4 years ago, again in January, I was prompted to read the Bible again in a year. And this time I followed the Nicky Gumbel thing. And I found that a real blessing, you know, to read a psalm, an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and then have Nicky explain it. And I found that really good, really useful. And I did that for 2 years. And that was fine. And then I decided to do it a third year, but this time I did the Psalms and New Testament. And then the following year, I did Psalms and the Old Testament. So it gave me more time to explore when God spoke to me from the Word. I wasn't stuck with getting all this done. I had more time to actually, you know, do something about it. And what I do is I set aside time every morning. I set my alarm for half an hour early. I get up, I do it, and that starts my day in the right way. And I know that's a quiet time. I've got nothing bearing down on me, no text messages coming in or anything like that. I can just set my heart to reading the Word of God and communing with Him.
Great.
And do you feel like because you've read the Bible a few times through, do you feel like you're quite, just in your day-to-day when you're out, maybe you're talking to people, do you feel like scriptures come to you quite easily, or like you can remember, oh, it says in, Ecclesiastes 3, this, or...
Ron, what does it say in Ecclesiastes
3? I do find that the Holy Spirit gives me verses of scripture. I don't know where they come from,
but
they just come to me. When I was younger, I used to learn scripture a lot. I was brought up learning scripture through Sunday school and Bible class. And I did that. But as I've got older, my memory is not as good. And I can't memorize scripture so well these days. But I find that the Holy Spirit does give me the words and gives me a scripture passage. You know, I can be in a meeting and suddenly a scripture passage will come to me and I can share it, you know. Things like that. But I, as Keith said earlier, reading through the Bible does give you an all-round view of the message of God. Tough bit, and there are some really tough bits in scripture that you really struggle with. You think, what's all these names? What does it mean? Why have I got to read all this? But it's all a picture of, you know, God's love down through all these generations of people. And they were ordinary guys like me, and God, you know, had a purpose in them, and God has a purpose for me.
Great. Thanks, Brian. That's really helpful. I think to pick up one kind of element of what you said, it seems like what you're saying is that at the start, it required kind of a fairly high level of discipline to kind of be in the Word, you know, regularly, but that over time, that discipline transformed into desire. Still required that same discipline, but actually desire was born out of that discipline. And I think that's definitely been my experience. I was very sporadic in my reading of scripture. And it was only really, you know, going through a season of finding a way, and we'll touch on this in a minute, finding a way of reading the Bible that worked for me, that I felt like I could connect with the Word. But you know, putting in that kind of regular time. And I found... your desires change when they do that. They become aligned, you know, to God. And I once heard a friend of mine describe it as, you know, when you're trying to go on a kind of healthy eating drive, you know, you've been stuffing your face with kind of chips and burgers, and you go, you know what, I know this isn't good for me, so I need to kind of eat salad every day. And he said, you know, that he started to eat salad, and for the first season of eating salad, it was a real, like, you know, chore of, like, oh man, I want burger and chips, but I've got to eat salad. But then he found his actual appetite changed over the season, and his kind of body no longer wanted the junk food. It wanted the stuff that was good for it, because he could feel the effects and the benefits and was energized by it. And I think that's been my experience with the Word of God as well, in that actually your appetite, you'd almost train your appetites to change as your heart becomes more aligned with God. And then you come to a season where actually it isn't that same, oh man, I've got to pick up my Bible. There's a sense of almost anticipation of, like, I want to be in God's Word. You don't always feel like that, but I think you can definitely get to that place where your expectation of, like, God's going to speak to me and I'm going to be built up and encouraged in this. Yeah. So that's really helpful. One final question, I guess, on kind of getting really practical then. What would be your kind of number one, from your experience, your number one top tip in terms of putting that in place, that kind of regular Bible reading? Keith, what would be your top tip?
Ooh. Well, definitely, as Brian said, a plan. Definitely plan. Plan a time that works for you. I know for someone in Miriam's position, that's difficult because the children decide, no, that's the time that we want. So you may have to have a kind of a few different times that you can use, but make sure that you're carving out time, and make sure that you're then using that time in a disciplined kind of way. So it's not just open the Bible, oh, Psalm 23, I'll like that one, you know, but really kind of grapple with the tougher bits as well. I have, for most of my sort of 50 years or so Christian life, I've used Bible reading notes, and I still do. And it's kind of my baseline, if you like. I think at the very least, I am going to pick up my Bible every day, and I'm going to pick up my Bible reading notes and read the passage that it tells me to read and read the comments on it. That's my kind of baseline. And if that's all I'm doing, it takes me about 5 minutes, but it makes sure that I'm reading the Bible. What more often happens is that then triggers off, and oh, let's go and look at this now.
Yeah.
But yes, so plan for something that you know you can achieve, and then let, you know, the Holy Spirit take you further if time permits.
Great, that's really helpful, Keith. How about you, Di? Any top tips?
No. I think Jeff wanted me to be really honest in this time. I don't know how honest. So I think if any of you out there watching this with kind of multiple young children, I think just got to be kind of flexible, really, because like you said, there isn't a time that I can kind of set aside each day. I think particularly with Caleb, who's just turned one, he's obviously still at that very, very dependent stage. Whereas John and Josie, who are nearly seven and four, although they're still young, they would obviously be able to cope with me saying, right, at 9 o'clock, I'm going to read my Bible for half an hour. So I think with Caleb in the mix, that just, you know, occasionally that might work, because he might happen to be happy at that point or not need a nappy change or something, or milk or whatever. But he's obviously very, very dependent on me still. So I guess being flexible and just having this is actually something that I'm starting to try now, really, but having my Bible out, just and it's always kind of on the bookcase, but just having it maybe on the dining room table or something. And even if it's literally kind of read a verse for 1 minute in between, you know, making a snack or changing a nappy or whatever, and then going back to it and just having it more of a, again, that kind of drip feeding through the day. So that, like you said, Keith, I know that at least I've had, even if I've read one verse in the day, I know that that's going to benefit me more than not reading it at all. So I think just being flexible, and also each day is different, especially at the moment without school and stuff, there is no real structure, apart from kind of meal times and things. But so I think, yeah, just kind of making it work for you each day, really, if any of you listening or watching are in my position. But it's going to change, isn't it? And as the kids get older, hopefully I'll be able to have a bit more of a dedicated time. I find the evenings hard because I'm really tired and Caleb's going through a stage where he's not really sleeping very well, evenings and nights. So that's tricky. So I think, I know God knows that and he's gracious, but I do think you can still kind of make or find time, even if it is literally just for 1 minute. Yeah.
Great, thank you. How about you, Brian? Top tip? I know you shared a bit about planning. Anything else?
Yeah, I just, as I say, set aside time. And I found that mornings is best for me because Miriam said, you know, if I try and do it in the evening or when just before going to bed, I'm tired, you know, my brain's not really working. And I just like to do it in the morning because it's a good way to start the day. And I'm privileged, in a privileged position now that I can do that. Now, there's just Ruth and I at home, and I've got that time. But I can remember when we had children here, and, you know, life was just manic. You never knew what was going to happen. Mm. And in those times, yeah, my Bible reading was very hit and miss. Mm. So I do count myself really privileged now. But I have to have that set time, because if I let that slip, then, you know, I would let slip reading God's word.
Yeah.
And spending time in his presence. And, you know, I think prayer is also important. I know we're going to talk about prayer, I think, on another Sunday morning, but you know, I follow reading scripture with actually talking to God. So he talks to me through word and I talk to him. And that works fine for me, but I do need that plan in place.
Great. That's really helpful. A couple that I'll just throw in for me is, I think, have the right motivation. I think it's very easy with anything you've got to be disciplined in for that to fall into legalism. And so I think, well, I've got to read my Bible because then I get my tick against my name and I've, you know, God accepts me for this day. And just to realize, no, actually my motivation for reading God's word is because I want to know him more. I want to encounter him. I want to learn who he is, who I am in him. I want to learn about this amazing story you talked about, Keith, that we're part of. You know, this is my story now, because I'm a Christian. I've been brought into this. This is my history, and this is how God reveals himself. So if I want to know more of God, this is where I'm going to encounter him first and foremost. I think having that motivation really helps. It's like a kind of a grace-based, grace-driven. There is some effort in there, as there is when you're cultivating any relationship, but actually it's because I want to know him more. And then for me, like, really simply, I know it sounds really obvious, but it's finding a Bible that actually is comfortable to read, or a place like physically that's comfortable to read. For years, I had a big study Bible that weighed about, you know, 3 kilos that I'd try and sit on my lap and would be really awkward and uncomfortable. And then a friend of mine gave me a journaling Bible, which has a little gap on either side where you can just kind of jot things down. And I found writing stuff down really, really helpful. I know it's not for everybody, but for me, just helps me focus in and draw out things I feel God's speaking to me. But having something that is comfortable, that I can sit in a comfortable chair, ideally away from distractions, my phone away, that's not always easy. But you know, a place where I'm not going to be tempted to think or look at anything else, and just really have some dedicated, focused time, I find that personally really helpful. We're nearly at an end in terms of our time. One last question, I guess. How would we share about the Bible with people who aren't Christians? Like, if we were trying to explain to somebody why we read God's word and what's good news, why is there hope in God's word? How might we do that in a conversation with somebody who isn't a Christian? Keith, what would you think?
I think primarily the very existence of the Bible shows us that we have a God who is reaching out to us, who actually speaks to the world, says, this is what I'm like, this is what I want, and this is what I'm doing for you, which is quite an amazing thing as a starting point, a God who speaks. And then that leads us on to realize that, well, what does he speak about? And I just thought of that verse at the beginning of Hebrews, you know, in the past God has spoken in various ways, and now he speaks to us by his Son. And you think, yeah, so the whole Bible is kind of pointing at Jesus and God's plan to bring a people to himself, which is fantastic news, but we only know about it because he chooses to reveal it through the word.
Great, it's really helpful. How about you, Brian?
The Bible is basically a love story. It's the love story of God to his creation. And I think it's important that we get that out there, because there are a lot of people around us that don't know of its existence. Mm. Well, they know the Bible exists, but they don't know of the existence of God's love for them, his creation. And I think through reading the Bible and understanding, getting to know God personally, we're able to share that through the way we live our lives and through in our conversations with people, sharing at appropriate moments from the Word of God, getting across to them that God loves them and God sent his Son to die for them on the cross. Because that is the central theme of Scripture. And I just think it's important that we get this love story out there to people because they need it.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. How are you, Eli, any thoughts?
I think like Brian was saying, really, I think, and I was saying this to a friend last night, but lots of people that aren't Christians, kind of have a misunderstanding of what it is to be a Christian and also what the Bible is. And they may have never even really looked at it apart from something that might have been read at school in an assembly or when they were little or something. But, and obviously some people have had experience and chosen to kind of turn away, but I think lots and lots of people just don't really know what it is. And so I think some people, once they kind of get that, if they've got an open heart and a soft heart to it, I think they might think, oh right, okay, yeah, well yeah, sure, that makes sense, you're a Christian and this is kind of like your handbook for your life. Everyone, you know, listens to like music or reads books or goes on social media and reads things that interest them. So I guess if I was trying to imagine, if I was chatting to a friend who isn't a Christian and trying to explain it to them, I might kind of explain it in a way, especially if that friend enjoys reading books and gets pleasure out of that. Kind of using it, you know, explaining it in that sense of, well, you enjoy reading a novel or you enjoy listening to music, which is basically you absorbing that nice singing and nice music. Or if it's a book, absorbing that kind of story, and you enjoy that and it kind of enriches your life. And so this is something that enriches my life. Obviously, it's a bigger part than just music or a novel, but kind of describe it in that way, really. Mm. And as being a Christian is central to my life, it's, you know, obviously it's going to have a positive impact on me.
Mm. Right, yeah. Yeah, I think all I would add to that is, I think as Christians, we can be confident, you know, that this is unchanging truth in a world that doesn't really know what that is. And it doesn't, maybe doesn't even believe in that, you know, the era of kind of fake news and, you know, changing opinions and cultural trends that are constantly moving and shifting. People don't really have any solid ground to build their lives upon in terms of identity. And yet, you know, this is what God offers us, the solid ground of his unchanging nature, you know, revealed to us through his word. So I think as Christians, we should have confidence in its power as well. That actually, you know, I think like a few of you have said, a lot of people probably reject Christianity or reject the Bible, but have never actually read it. And so I think we can encourage people, say, well, look, you know, you're saying you don't believe this. Well, but have you actually read it? You know, go and read through one of the Gospels and then we can, you know, expect God to encounter people, you know, through those words. So I think we shouldn't be ashamed, you know, of God's word, and we shouldn't try to water it down or make it more palatable. It is at odds with our culture, absolutely, in many, many ways, and it will, you know, increasingly be. But that's because, you know, it's unchanging and culture isn't. So we can be confident in it. Guys, we're going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for giving us your time. It's been so, so interesting and so helpful. I'm just going to pray for the church and for anyone watching, and then we'll draw our time to a close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Lord God, we thank you that it is perfect and sure and right and pure and true and precious and guarding and guiding, Lord. And we thank you that it does us such good. And I want to pray for every single person watching, Lord God, that you would just move in their hearts and give them a renewed desire to encounter you through your word, and that their experience of doing that would be a reviving of the soul. It would be of wisdom coming to them. It would be of joy bubbling up in their lives. It would be of their hearts being satisfied in you. I thank you. There is great reward, Lord God, in your word. And so I just pray, Father, that you'd bring us all individually, corporately, into a fresh season of encountering you through your word, having our hearts and our minds renewed and our appetites and desires changed, that we would see you more clearly and love you more dearly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you soon.